Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, a question and answer show exclusive to OnlyFans and Miami Dolphins Discord server. Now, here's your host, Alf.
And we're on, and welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, the only show that you can participate in. If you're a member of OnlyFans, that is our Discord for 3 yards per carry. If you want to become a member, you go to discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you could become a member there for $3 a month. For more information, you could check our pinned tweet at our 3 yards per carry Twitter page at the number 3 yards per carry. And as always, shows brought to you by Prize Picks for you out of staters, by the way, because there's an issue in the state of Florida. But for you out of staters, you could still use deposit code 5, the promo code 5, F-I-V-E, you deposit $100, you get $100. Simple as that. All right, it's kind of been an eventful week, but only it's eventful because of what's happened the last couple of days. The Jets have won the Super Bowl, and the Dolphins are chasing Odell Beckham, it seems like. So, now, here's the thing. How did we get here? Okay. For that third wide receiver spot, look, I do not put aside what they've done with Jonnu Smith. I think that's a major signing. He's going to help immensely for the passing game, especially for timing, especially on third downs. But they still have to work on that wide receiver 3 spot. And who have they touched base on? A lot of fans want Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd was bad last year. His numbers were not good. Okay. But they were pretty damn good in 2022. So which guy are you getting if you went after Tyler Boyd? He's not even taking visits as of right now. Supposedly he was going to visit with the Steelers. That fell through, so that's not happening. I do not know if Miami has any interest. I do know Miami had some interest on KJ Osborne. He signed with the Patriots. And I guess the number that he signed on for kind of tells you everything you need to know. Miami is not willing to go out there for a big number unless you're a certain type of player. I think KJ Osborne was going to be maybe offered probably what he was offered in New England, but smaller guarantee maybe. Maybe with an option. Something like that. They didn't get around to it. As far as I know, there was no visit. I do know they had some interest in Mecole Hardman. That's died. That's gone by the wayside. And if you're paying attention to what Mecole Hardman is doing this offseason, he's had an eventful offseason himself. But now we've reached the point where there seems to be some interest in Odell Beckham, and it's absolutely real. He's taking a visit on Thursday. And Justine Anderson reported it. He's taking a visit to Miami on Thursday. We're not talking a big number here. I'm thinking a large guarantee. He has as much cachet to get a large guarantee. What kind of receiver is he at this stage of his career? Well, he had 8.8 yards per target last year. That's elite. 16.1 yards per catch, also elite. You got to dig into the tape, though. Like, how good was he? on tape. So that's where you're going to have to actually dig into what he actually accomplished last year to try to see if you're actually going to get something that's going to pay some dividends. Do I like it? I do. I really do. He has a gravitational pull that a lot of other guys do not. Okay? If you wanted to get one guy, and we were talking about this today on OnlyFans on the 3YPC channel, Chris and I were talking about, you know, what do you want to accomplish with one guy or the other? I was advocating for Brian Thomas because I think he could run go routes on the outside and open up stuff for Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle inside. He was arguing, and probably successfully in my opinion, that Xavier Leggett is a better player. I do believe that, by the way. I do believe that Xavier Leggett is a better player than Brian Thomas, even though he will most likely go behind him in the draft. He was arguing that Xavier Leggett can actually do that as well. He can stack cornerbacks on the outside. Now, if you can stack cornerbacks on the outside, that's a very good thing for Tyreek and Waddle on the inside. I do know that Leggett can do a lot of the things that Brian Thomas just has not shown on film inside, meaning running mesh concept across and getting away from corners and defensive backs, creating space to catch the ball cleanly and then run. He's extremely good from catch to tuck to run, which is extremely important in this offense. It's what they were really missing toward the end of the year. You took one guy out, the other one was injured, obviously, and you had nothing else. Nobody else could get open. And it's just Tua back there by himself with a poor offensive line trying to throw perfect balls to people. So essentially catching the ball for them. Now, Odell Beckham, he could catch the ball. There's no problem there. All right. As I bring you up, we have plenty of questions in the queue. But as I bring you up, make sure to identify yourself so that way the audience knows who you are. All right, you are up, and then there's a bunch of questions I want to get to. I want to get to every single one of them in the queue. But first, you're up.
Hi, Alf. Hi, everyone. This is Dundee Dolphin. I was here last week. From the free agency signings, from the moves that we think we've made, what do you think you know this week about direction of travel, intentions in the draft, intentions in free agency that you didn't know last week?
Well, this week I know that they're settling the offensive line for the most part. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear stuff like that. But they have an idea. They have their emergency offensive line is already set. Meaning, if they take injuries, they have the guys on the roster already that will step in. Is there another starter to be had? I believe so. They're getting a lot of money in June. I believe that there's one more shoe to drop. Who is that guy? I have no idea. Are they going to take a guy in the draft? I believe so. Okay. So
it feels like there's a similar philosophy. We're not going to see any changes to the philosophy of blocking scheme or anything like that. Is that fair?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Although bringing in Phil Haynes is kind of an odd swerve because he's more of a drive blocker than the positional blockers that they have right now. Jack Driscoll, I've pored over his tape. He's not moving anybody off of spot. That's just not happening. He's not moving a one tech. He's not caving in a one tech. He's going to wall him off because he has good technique. He was coached by Jeff Stoutland. All those guys are going to employ really, really good technique. But I think what I've learned this week is that they're settling the roster and they're preparing themselves to take BPA at 21. I really do feel that way. I don't think, you know, maybe cornerback is probably not in the cards. But I think wide receiver, defensive tackle, edge are. One possible tight end is. Tackles absolutely are. And possibly one interior offensive lineman in Graham Barton. I just haven't looked at anybody else that looks to me like he's a pick in the first round on the interior offensive line. JPJ, I understand, you know, he's popular around these parts. His stock is evidently going down. I don't know if it's a medical thing or not, but mock drafts are pushing him down and almost out of the first round, which is interesting in and of itself. which could open up Miami for a trade down. And, you know, you might, if you really, really liked him, and I do believe that he could step in and play left guard right away. And as far as Graham Barton, I think Graham Barton, you draft Graham Barton at 21. Nobody's going to blame you for reaching. And second of all, I think that you could play him anywhere you want, including left tackle. Graham Barton.
Sorry, Alf.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I look at Graham Barton's measurables and I scratch my head. It's very different than the other offensive linemen we have. He's not gigantic and he's not mobile. He's versatile. Yep. I'm not sure. I watched the tape of him getting destroyed by Verse, play after play. I've not seen that much of him, but it doesn't seem to fit to the style, to the template.
I think he's actually pretty mobile. The 49ers have scouted him extensively, and they've scheduled a visit with him. They're essentially, you know, stalking him all over the country. And if you wanted to pencil in a team that actually would take him, it's probably the 49ers. And if the 49ers want him, we should too. You know what I mean? I've watched him plenty. He shows up at left tackle a ton because he played there a lot. That's one thing about Graham Barton. He's capable of playing anywhere. And he's a guy that you could start on, you know, in September, you start him at left guard. And Teron Armstead maybe has to miss a game in game 5. And maybe you feel comfortable playing Isaiah Wynn at left guard and moving Graham Barton to left tackle. I think it's a possibility he could do that in the NFL. He has really, really good feet. He has great hand placement. And he gets after it. Like, he sustains That's blocks.
Good. Yeah.
You know, his tape is as good as anybody else's on the interior. The great thing, like the other guys, like if you look at Christian Haynes, what does he have? He has a great anchor. He's strong. Great upper body strength. He moves and controls his man. So Christian Haynes is a guy, but he's not a candidate at 21. He's a candidate at 55. JPJ, what does he have? A great anchor and power. You know, any of those three, I believe, start day one for Miami at left guard. Any one of those three. And JPJ, JPJ, you might even start him at right guard, to be honest with you. He's that strong.
Great, thank you. May I ask you one other quick thing?
Go ahead.
I noticed the head coach, GM, offensive coordinator off to Texas. How normal is that for the three significant principals to go to a pro day? And why do you think they've gone to this one?
It's very significant, but it was more than just three. It was Chris Greer, it was Mike McDaniel, it was Frank Smith, it was a strength coach, it was John Embry, and it was there were so many that I'm missing one. Oh yeah, Anthony Weaver was there as well. So, like, how many people do you really need? They essentially took all the brain trust over there. And of course, I'm missing guys that you're not seeing behind the scenes, which are, you know, the analytics guys are going to show up because they're going to be doing their own timing, you know? So, and who knows, maybe a cap guy was with them. So, who knows why all of them were out there. But I think Chris Kaufman, our own Chris Kaufman, had the best answer, which was look at who was working out. You had four top skill guys working out. You know, you want to get eyes on that. They didn't go to the Georgia workout. Why would they? If you go to the Georgia workout, you're going to go look at, you're looking at a safety and you're looking at a tight end, you know, and a running back maybe for a late round flyer. At Texas, you have four skill guys and you have two defensive guys that you're going to consider. That's six guys for 21, you know. And I would say three guys for 55. So absolutely, that's why you would send that giant contingent over to Texas. Anything else?
That's great. I could chat all day, but I'll let you crack on. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're going to get into the questions in the chat. If anybody wants to ask a question in person, all you got to do is raise your hand. And put it in and I'll put you in the queue. If not, just put the questions in the chat, and I will get to every single one of them. All right, here's the first one. What grade would you give the offseason so far, knowing it's still incomplete? B+. And the only reason it's B+ is because I would have made a couple of different choices, but I can't argue with their choices. I love what they've done with the linebacking core. You could have not convinced me that you were just going to dump Jerome Baker and you were going to actually upgrade the entire unit, and you did. I understand the philosophy behind all the guys that they've picked up on the defensive line. So, and I really do like Aaron Brewer. So B+, solid B+. All right, next question. Non-Dolphins question, he says. And he says, how do you feel about the quarterback class, especially at the top? Great question. I actually did some scoring on this. As you know, I have my own little scoring system that I developed based on a criteria that I weigh. And then I get into the weeds of the numbers and against who they played. And it allows me to arrive at a single number. So I've ranked them for this year. Now, this is not necessarily how I feel about them, but it's how I have them ranked this year, and I'll run them down. Caleb Williams, I have him as 7.25. Jaden Daniels, second at a 7. Bo Nix at 6.75. Drake May is fourth at 6.75, and I put him behind Bo Nix due to experience. Michael Penix Jr. is at 6.5. J.J. McCarthy at 6.25. Spencer Rattler at 5.75. And Jordan Travis at 5. Those are the only guys I have as draftable. Okay. So if you want to compare that Caleb Williams number at 7.25, we could go all the way back to 2020, the infamous quarterback class. And that quarterback class came out this way. Joe Burrow, 7.5. Tua Tagovailoa, 7.25. Jalen Hurts, 7. Justin Herbert, 6.75, and Jordan Love, 6. So if you're going to compare class for class, the 2020 class had 3 first-round grades on it. The 2024 class has 2 first-round grades on it. Last year, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young both had first-round grades. 2022 had no first-round grades, although Kenny Pickett went in the first round. Actually, 2022 had 1, 2, 3.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Four day three grades. 2021 had 1 first round grade in Trevor Lawrence. So that's where I stand. As far as what do I think about Caleb Williams, I think he has every single tool to be really, really good in this league. It's really just up to him. The physical and the tape is strong, and If that's what he plays up to, he's going to be a really, really good one. But it's up to also what's in between his ears and how he takes to a team and how they manage him. That's also important. Okay? No quarterback does it by themselves. Everybody needs help. And Caleb Williams does especially. As far as who I don't like J.J. McCarthy. I just don't see it. Like, he may have some intangibles and he may have some physical tools. I just don't see how that's a first-round pick. We shall see on draft day and night one. I suspect that somebody's actually going to take him, you know, that somebody's actually going to be sold on him. I'm hoping it's New England. I hope New England trades down some way, and, or better yet, they just use their high pick on J.J. McCarthy and be done with it, and we just laugh our ass off. And I feel good about that, by the way. All right, next question. OBJ, shit show or not? Not is my very short answer. I think he'll be good. Next question. Do you think we are done adding on defense through free agency? Is there merit to going after one of the San Francisco wide receivers with the intent of giving them Tyreek's money next year? No. If you're going to give Tyreek's money to anybody next year, you're going to give it to Jalen Waddle. All right? And you're going to draft and develop the guy that will play next to Jalen Waddle. This is the draft to take a wide receiver. You almost can't miss with pick 21. And pick 55, in my opinion, it's going to be really hard to miss as well. Okay? It's that loaded of a draft. So you're taking a wide receiver in this draft somehow. You know, if you could trade down and get an extra pick in the 40s, man, maybe that's your wide receiver right there. You're taking a wide receiver in this draft. You're developing him right next to Jalen Waddle. In a year, you probably say your goodbye to Tyreek Hill. You give his money to Jalen Waddle. And then you have the understudy playing on the other side of Jalen Waddle. You're set. All right? And you'll have some cap space too. Okay? So you'll be able to play with some of that cap space to fill in between the lines. Next question. What's the Dolphins pick at 21 as of March 20? I got a very strong feeling about Lea Tulatu. You know, he's an edge rusher. Man, you can't argue with the production, man. 26 and a half sacks in 2 years. You know? Yes, 23 and a half sacks in 2 years in about 21 games. Sign me up. Watch him on tape. He has every move in the book. I understand, you know, Sika has a pretty good, you know, he raises a valid concern, which is you haven't seen him beat the best tackles. And he's on tape against some of the best tackles, not getting off on him. You got to dig a little bit deeper, you know, and maybe that's an issue. But like I always say with a first round pick, it's about coming to terms with your fear and your desire. You know, I don't have much fear with Lea Tulatu. I think as of today, I think that one of those edge rushers could make it to them. And the temptation could be too much to ignore. Let's just say that. All right, moving on. Is there anyone you'd trade up for at the moment? No. There's nobody I would trade up for in this draft. We need quantity. And the great thing about this draft, look, I always believe that you could get quality in the top 100, okay? In the first 100 picks, I'm fairly certain you can do a fair bit of scouting and you reasonably understand what you're doing, okay? Past the first 100 picks, meaning, you know, day three, man, once you get to day three, you could throw darts at a dartboard and be just as right as the next guy. I really do believe that. It's hard to hit on fifth-round picks. It's hard to hit on fourth-round picks. But I think you can reasonably understand what you're doing in the first three rounds. Okay? So I want quantity, because if you have quantity in that top 100, you're going to get good players. I think this is a good draft, you know? And remember, I'm looking at it through the lens as, you know, for the Miami Dolphins. This is a good draft for the Miami Dolphins. All the positions of need are there, smacking you right in the face. Next question. What's the strategy with OBJ? Barry Jackson, has been biting his tongue, and now it appears he got the okay to say it. Yeah, I think the strategy with OBJ is to offer him a contract tomorrow. He's visiting with Miami on Thursday. I would guess there's so much smoke that we're choking on it. I think it happens. Next question. Do you see any team in specific being desperate enough to trade up for one of the final QBs? It's a great question because somebody's going to miss out, right? Like somebody's going to have a target that, you know, if there is a run at quarterback, and everybody's expecting like the first four picks could be quarterbacks, right? So if there is a run on quarterback, somebody's going to be looking at Michael Penix Jr. or maybe even J.J. McCarthy and saying, look, I need that guy. So it's going to have to be a team that's actually a winner that's going to want to move up to spot 21 to take him. So what winner can use another quarterback to develop? Could it be the 49ers just look at us and say, hey, let's make a trade here for pick 21 and we'll take J.J. McCarthy? Maybe that's the case. Who else? Who is a winner that's going to look at it and say, you know what? You know, we could use this guy to develop behind the guy that we have now that we might not particularly like going forward much. You know, I don't know. It has to be somebody toward the end of the draft. One of the candidates, I would say, are the 49ers. Other than that, Dallas really, really, like, Dallas moving up for Michael Penix Jr., I could absolutely see something like that, okay? And it gives them an opportunity to move off of Dak Prescott's giant contract in a year. So, yeah, I could see something like that happening. All right, next question. If Finn's philosophy on the offensive line holds true, is the offensive line completely off the table in round one or two? No. Or do they plan for the future knowing Armstead will be gone? I don't think that offensive line is completely off the table in round one or two. You don't know who they've identified as a guy who's a big difference maker. I would venture to guess if Troy Fatano is there at 21, I think he's the pick. I think they're going to look at him and they're going to have, there's no way they don't have a high enough grade to say you must take him at 21. It would be similar to the Laramie Tunsil situation, in my opinion. And he's a guy that starts at left guard day one. And then as you're starting left tackle the following year. So, absolutely. Like, that's the guy I think would be there. I don't think it's off the table. I think guard is very much in play for that second round. What is the plan at right guard? Do you see the Dolphins signing anyone else like Laken Tomlinson, or they're set until the draft? I really thought that they would actually kick the tires on a Laken Tomlinson, and they haven't, which is odd to me because I think he'd be perfect for this team. And he's extremely durable. So I don't understand why they haven't done that yet. As far as the plan at right guard, as of right now, it looks like it's Liam Eikenberg and Jack Driscoll. And you could pencil in a little bit of Robert Jones. So it's a three-headed monster there going vying for the starting spot at right guard. Next question. Do you have a background in construction? I feel like I've heard you allude to it before. Yes, I have a background in construction. I owned a draft design company for many, 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 many years. The first job I ever got in life was as a roofer. Then I became a foreman, and then I made project manager, and then I became self-employed about 20 years ago. If you're wondering how old I am 50. So actually I became self-employed. I'm trying to think. When the hell did I become self-employed? 2004? 20 years ago. Yeah, that's right. 2003. I was self-employed 2003. So that was, yeah, I was 25 or 26 thereabouts when I became self-employed. But yeah, my background is in construction. That's where I made most of my money. Now I talk into a microphone about football for money. That's what I do for a living now, which is pretty cool. Next question. My wife just looked over and asked me why I have OnlyFans. Yeah, remember, it's not OnlyFans. It's OnlyFans. Our logo is kind of reminiscent of OnlyFans, but it's OnlyFans. And you can become a member for $3 a month if you go to discord.gg/OnlyFans. Next question. Hey, Alf, I know you think we need another top 100 pick in this draft. Absolutely. Besides trading back or trading next year's picks, are there any tradable players currently on the roster? That's a great question. Okay, believe it or not, I think Liam Eikenberg has value, but he has fire sale value. I think somebody would throw us a 6th-round pick, okay, for Liam Eikenberg. Tradable players to get a top 100 pick, besides the obvious ones that you need? No, I don't think they have one. I don't think they do. I just don't think they have one to trade right now. So, nope, the answer is no. But I do completely agree with you. They need another top 100 pick in this draft. This draft's too good to not have another one. Next question. Which of the free agent signings this week gets you the most excited? Well, if it's this week, I kind of like Jeff Driskel. I think he's a really he's noticeable as a right guard, okay? Meaning he can play. Meaning you could plug him in, and I think he'll give you pretty good and adequate play, especially as a pass protector, okay? I don't see him paying any dividends if he has to play right tackle. He's just not very good at it, you know? I don't know why the Eagles insisted on playing him at right tackle sometimes, but you could see it on tape. It's as clear as day when he plays right guard. He's a capable offensive lineman. So I guess that one makes me the most excited this week. All right, next question. Even if we were to sign OBJ, do you think they'd still get a Brian Thomas or a Ladd McConkey too? Yes, is the answer to that. Do you agree O-line is just getting less and less ready, as CK has said, and we just start sticking to skill positions with the immediate impact? I think they're telegraphing their philosophy with every single day. Would you be okay dropping out of the round one? Yes. If it meant we pick up at least one in every round, meaning pick up some combo of a 2, 3, and 4, 1,000,000,000%. Yes. Next question. I'm gonna pull a Barry. Okay, I wonder what that means. Is there anyone in free agency that you're hoping they pull the trigger on? Lakin Tomlinson. Do you see us bringing in Tua's brother for camp? Man, I would. I like Tua. Or is it Talia? What the hell? How do you pronounce his name? Talia. Yeah, it's Talia Tungavaloa. I like him as a player. I'd bring him in. Absolutely. If he's a UDFA, yeah, you bring him in and you have him compete with Skylar Thompson. Absolutely. 1,000,000%. So since we're one night away from the tourney, who do you have winning it? Duke. Yeah, Duke, unfortunately. We all thought AJ was a trash can. Yeah, some of us did think that he was a trash can. And Butch fixed him. Is it so far-fetched to think he makes Liam look good like he was in college again? Like, can Butch make Liam a reasonable starter? My suspicion is that he will. And we're going to look pretty dumb by season's end. And I'm hoping that that's the case. We shall see. You know, I'm not the biggest Liam Eikenberg fan. I'm just not. Okay. He gives us versatility. I don't think he gives us consistent good play. But he will now be playing in his best position. At least he has an opportunity to win that position at right guard. Next question, as we're winding down here, will we go into the season without upgrading the interior defensive line? What level of player do we need there? I think that I'm pretty good with the zeros and ones that they have on the roster as of right now. I think you can use another three tech type, a guy who can shoot gaps. This is not going to be too much of a two-gap system. So if you have a guy that could reasonably get up the field as a three-tech, I would do it. Jordan Phillips is out there. I know Omar Kelly brought him up, and I almost pissed myself when I heard it. He left on very surly terms down here, Jordan Phillips. But he could get up the field as a three-tech. He could work. 15 snaps a game, 12 snaps a game. Sign me up. Next question. Any draft bets that has caught your eye this far out? I would say no. I was able to get Miami taking a wide receiver with their first pick at plus 3,000. That's great. A few weeks ago. Yeah, man. Hold on to that one, man. You know, you're paying for a vacation if you hit. And I think you have a reasonable chance to hit. What are your thoughts on BB? And do you make the move at 55? At 55, I think he very well might be BPA. He's a good drive blocker, physical offensive lineman. He gives him something that they sort of lack on the offensive line already. River Craigcraft has re-signed, which is a good thing. So they have the back end of the wide receiver core put together. That just broke over Twitter. Here's the last question. And this will be it. And then I'll be it for this week until next week. Last question is, how important is O-line durability this season? If our starters had stayed healthy last season, how far would we have gone? I think they had a healthy offensive line all year. I think they win another game. And that means they're playing at home, which means they're playing in the divisional round, probably at home. So if you're playing in the divisional round at home, maybe you're in the AFC Championship game. So, yeah, O-line durability was massive last year. And that's something that they should strive for this year. And that's one reason I would like a Laken Tomlinson. I believe he's missed one game in his career. So, yes, it's extremely important. All right, that's it. Until next week, if you want to become a member and you want to participate in one of these Q&A sessions that we do every single Wednesday on our Discord, OnlyFans, you can become a member at discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you can become a member for $3 a month. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to OnlyFans Q&A Live.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.